The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
I have a really important book in front of me. It's called Children of the Troubles. It's the untold story of the children killed in the Northern Ireland conflict. It has been written by Joe Duffy and Frey McClements. Thank you both very much for being with us here on the programme. Joe, I suppose this is a very logical follow-on, isn't it, from that fantastic book you did a few years ago about the children killed in the 1916 Rising.
And I wrote that 100 years after the events, obviously. And I realised, Matt, in writing that, in one sense, I'd left it too late because it should have been written in 1966, because children don't have children. Children don't have direct descendants. Children have nieces and nephews, hopefully, and grandnieces and great-grandnieces. And the line spreads. Obviously, the parents and the siblings at the time keep the flame alive of the child. But it struck me when I was writing Children of the Rising that I found it difficult to find families. Now, we found a lot of them, but in turn, they had difficulty remembering the stories of their relatives. As you know, most people didn't. I didn't know that 40 children were killed in the Easter Rising. It's seldom mentioned. It was never mentioned because it wasn't known. It was one child was mentioned now and again. And then I decided, as I finished in 2015, the book Children of the Rising, I just, almost out of a hobby, I just started a desktop exercise of going through Lost Lives, going through the Cain website, going through various newspapers, National Library, trying to find out the number of children that were killed in the Troubles.
Because there's about 3,000 people died in the Troubles.
Well, we think it's nearly 4,000.
Yeah, there's just over 3,700 in Lost Lives, and obviously, you know, there have been people who've been killed since, and I mean, we also know from our own research, you know, we've also uncovered, Joe and I, children who aren't in Lost Lives at all. So yeah, Joe's absolutely right. I mean, you're looking at 3,700 plus, certainly.
And how many children did you identify for this book?
186, and that's about 6% more than has been previously publicly recorded, which is in Lost Lives, which is a magisterial
book. An essential book.
Yeah. Essential book. Yeah. It's out of print at the moment, tragically. Hopefully books like this, our book, will focus people, and somebody will reprint Lost Lives or digitise Lost Lives. It's so important.
And somebody actually, you know, we've sort of deliberately said, you know, at least 186 children. And actually somebody contacted me just this morning to say my brother was killed in 1984. He was run over by an army Saracen, and it's never been talked about. Nobody ever knew about it. And now I don't know the details of that fully, because I need to sit down and have a conversation with this lady. But it just shows as well, you know, perhaps if that wasn't reported in the newspapers at the time, maybe that's just been lost. She said her mother had never spoken about it.
Well, it's awful to bring this up. It's tragic to bring it up, but I think we need to, for the emphasis on how these children lost their lives and what circumstances. Was it being shot, bomb blasts? What circumstances?
You name it. It was war. It was war on the streets. There was much the same way as the children. And it was only a week Easter Rising, obviously. When children hear excitement and gunfire, and as it was in 16 horses, and if they hear fire engines and ambulances and armour cars, they don't run away. They run after. They chase. And children were on the barricades. They were out for excitement. The place was in turmoil, as you know, Matt, you were up there. The place was in turmoil. Chaos is not a strong enough word. I remember vividly, you know, every morning on the radio, three people dead, four RUC men blown up, a hooded body found murdered in a ditch. Just went on and on.
And so many people forget this. This is what I think the importance of a book like this is that it's almost, there's a generation who know very little about it. There's others who perhaps gloss over it to an extent.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Joe's absolutely right. And I think a lot of people, you know, you don't want to go. I mean, we talk in the North an awful lot. We talk about the dark days, particularly of the 1970s, you know. But I mean, I was born in 1981, so I grew up sort of through the second half of this, if you like. I was 17 when the Good Friday Agreement was signed, you know. And I remember really well just the normality of it. And I think that's part of the sort of tragedy of this book is that, you know, in certain areas, and we do break down the stats in the book, you know, particularly, you know, North and West Belfast, you know, places like the Bogside and the Craigan and Derry, you know, war was quite literally on the streets where these children lived. So they were killed. I mean, 10% of the children in the book were actually killed inside their own homes. But I mean, we also try and reflect that what I remember from my own childhood, because I grew up in a little village in County Derry, which would have been, because it was more rural, it was just much more peaceful. But that's not to say there weren't, you know, there were the bomb scares, there was shootings, there were checkpoints, and there was the normality of that. And we tried to convey that people were right in the middle of this. People were also trying just to live their own lives. And there's a story in the book that's actually my story, but I don't sort of name myself in it. But it's a silly little thing, really. But it's about how being evacuated from a department store one Saturday afternoon with my mum and my granny and whatever, because there was a bomb scare, and being sort of taken down the road, and I had this wobbly tooth that fell out, and I remember stopping dead in the street and saying to my mum, "Oh, my tooth fell out," and her sort of grabbing me and saying, "You know, come on." And I remember being so annoyed because this really big thing had happened to me, that my tooth had just fallen out, and it says something about the normality of it troubles the child, that the bomb scare, that being evacuated in the middle of the afternoon because we might all be blown up, was not the unusual thing. It was my tooth falling out.
I remember something, and it's actually detailed very well in this book as well, from 1976, August 1976, I would have been 10 years of age, and I used to spend 3 or 4 weeks every summer in Belfast. My late mother was from Belfast, and we'd be up visiting my grandmother. And I remember we were coming back from one of my uncle's house over to my other uncle's house, heading over towards the Glen Road area. And there was a massive delay in traffic, and we were wondering what was going on. And we eventually got home and then discovered that 3 children had been killed. And I remember the horror of my mother and my uncles and aunts, this idea that, terrible as everything was, the idea that these 3 children, the Maguire children, and as it happened, my mother's family were Maguires as well, that this, just that story, just if you just explain to people what actually happened that particular day with the 3 of them.
Well, it was August, and there was a car chase. The army were chasing a car with a number of IRA men in it. They fired on the car. The car went out of control, mounted a footpath. Anne was walking with her children, all very young. One of them was on a bike, one of them was in a pram. And the car mounted a footpath and killed 3 of the children. They were Joanne, aged 8, Andrew, aged 6 weeks in the pram, and John Maguire, aged 2. And it's there's a lot of it in the book. Anne never recovered. And she died by suicide in 1980. And that whole, the horror, as you say, sparked the Peace People.
Mairead Corrigan and those
Betty
people.
Betty Williams.
And just as it sparks off, say, something like the other tragedy that sparked the movement was, say, the Warrington bombing. Mm. And that was Jonathan Ball and Tim Parry. Everyone knows, thankfully, Tim Parry's story because of the incredible work of Wendy and Colin and the Warrington Peace Centre. But Jonathan Ball, who was the other boy that died just on the eve of Mother's Day, he was in town with his minder, getting a present for his mammy, Mary Comerford, with Irish connection. Jonathan was 3. Jonathan was killed. And his family said to me, look, first of all, when we contacted them, they said, will you correct the spelling of Jonathan's name if you can? His name is spelled wrong. His opening remark to everyone was, my name is Jonathan with a H, J-O-H-N, in all the papers. And this happens. It was a little thing like that. But Mary, on the day that she was the only child she had with Wilf. And on the day that Jonathan was killed, she left the family home. She broke down, left the family home, and never came back. And she died on his anniversary, 13 years later. And not to put too awful a point on it, Mary Comerford starved herself to death. That's what the coroner believed.
Joe, what really strikes me when you're telling me these stories is that it's not just terrible, obviously, for the children whose lives were cut off so far before they should have been, but the consequences for all the people around them, who still, in many cases, still probably never get over what actually happened to these innocent children who were caught up in this dreadful war.
The figures are like 7,000 people lost a child. 14,000 grandparents lost a grandchild. 3,000 people lost a spouse. 15,000 lost a sibling. 45,000 lost an aunt or uncle. 21,000 lost a niece or nephew. 115,000 lost a close relatives. There were 500,000 victims. 170,000 people directly bereaved, 170,000 people got a physical injury. That's on this island, and that's in our lifetime. And every single child in that book, barring natural things in life or accidents, every single child in that book would still be alive today if it had not been for the conflict.
There's a quote that we chose for the back of the book specifically, and it's from Jack Kennedy, who's the father of a 15-year-old boy called James Kennedy. He was one of five people who were killed in the massacre in Sean Graham's Bookmakers in Belfast. Loyalist gunmen just went in and just opened fire on them. And James, 15-year-old James, who was a football superstar, he was one of those killed. And his father, Jack, said actually originally to the Irish Times, and we've used it on the back of the book, and it's on the memorial outside the shop, and he said, "The bullets that killed James didn't just travel in distance, they travelled in time, and some of those bullets never stopped travelling." And as Joe's just said, and I mean, I know from in the north, you know, those bullets, those bombs, you know, the consequences of those are still travelling. I mean, they're here for, you know, the family of every single child mentioned in the book, but I think, to be honest, they're still there for sort of wider society at large, because, you know, those figures are shocking. But if you think even today there's 1.8 million people in the north, you know, there's not a person there, you know, even in terms of the whole population of Ireland, I don't think there's a person who hasn't been affected by this.
And let me just finish with you, Joe Duffy, I mean, are we in the south sometimes very guilty of almost ignoring this tragedy on the island, that we became in some respects partitionist in our mentality? That's up there beyond the border, the border that we're now so eager to make sure is not restored. But for many, many years in the south, people just didn't want to know what was going on up there.
It was very difficult. And I'm not. This book is not about blame. It's about reflection and remembrance and recovery. It's not about recrimination. I hope, when I first had the idea, I was met with resistance. I was told people in the south aren't interested in the Troubles. But in my naivety, I continued, and then I met Frey about a year later. And without Frey, the book would not happen. I'm telling you, it's just simple as
well, that. I mean, it's an enormous amount of work.
Without Joe, I wouldn't be here. You know, I mean, none of this would have happened. It's been very much a team effort.
But I hope people take an interest in this. I hope, like, we are an extraordinarily, as demonstrated to this radio station, extraordinarily democratic, the democratically literate nation. The level of discourse on Brexit, for example, is breathtaking in Ireland. I think it's fantastic, the level. It's awful what's happening, but it's fantastic. We've an incredibly active and participative democracy at so many levels. And I just hope people will open that book, because every page is an oh my god page. It's still when I'm rereading it, and they'll open that book and say, we will use every single resource at our fingertips, from politicians to diplomats to civil servants to journalists to civic society, to ensure that nobody unleashes a bullet again.
Joe Duffy from RTE, Freya McClements from the Irish Times, well done. Thank you both of you for coming in and telling us about Children of the Troubles, the untold story of the children killed in the Northern Ireland conflict.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.